Hi, this is Eric Lures, and you're listening to the Guru Selling System Radio Show. So you're on LinkedIn. Big hoo-ha. Well, congratulations to you, at least, for doing that, for getting on LinkedIn and putting up your profile. Of course, the big thing about LinkedIn, and the reason it's so celebrated and everything, is it's supposed to be a place where not only can you put up a profile and make some new connections, but that ultimately you can actually create some business, some sales, some revenue from your connections, by having a product or service or by other people having products or services that can help you grow your business and vice versa. That's the construct. Now, what actually happens out there tends to be shockingly different for a lot of the people on LinkedIn. And you talk to most people on LinkedIn and they'll tell you they've gotten little, if any, real business from it, which is a pretty sad situation. But certainly not unheard of and not uncommon and not outside the realm of understandability. And it's not because people are dumb or anything else like that. It's like anything else. LinkedIn is a technology. It is a tool. But just because somebody gives you a tool for Christmas doesn't mean you know how to use it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And shortly, we're going to be going to an interview I recently did with Lori Ruff and Mike O'Neill, the authors of Rock the World with Your Online Presence, where we're going to be talking all about LinkedIn, your profile, how to utilize it, how to make connections, all that good stuff. So we'll be getting to that interview in a minute. Now, before we get into the interview, as always, if you haven't, I recommend you go on over to our website, guruselling.com, guruselling.com, and pick yourself up a copy of the free report, The Secrets of the Guru Selling System, because in this show and in every show, I will mention certain aspects from the Guru Selling System, and of course, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then it kind of doesn't make any sense, but it's helpful if you do, so the easiest way is to go get the report, and you'll have some idea of what I'm talking about. Of course, if you really want to have a full idea of the Guru Selling System, how it works and how you can apply it in your business right now, then pick yourself up a copy of the book Be Do Sale, and you can go on over to bedosale.com. That's BEDOSALE.com. You can download the first three chapters for free and check them out. And from there, bedosale.com, you can purchase yourself a digital copy or follow the link as it is on over to Amazon.com, where you can order yourself a printed copy of the book. Anyway, without further ado, let's get on into our interview with Lori Ruff and Mike O'Neill. Okay, and today our guests are Lori Ruff and Mike O'Neill. Now, Lori is the Chief Learning Officer, Lead Social Media Coach, and Senior Trainer for Integrated Alliances, a globally recognized expert in social media and LinkedIn training. Now, Lori is an active speaker, trainer, and online business reputation consultant. She is also the co-author of the book Rock the World with Your Online Presence, and she has two additional books in progress and is on the global editorial team of an executive MBA textbook. Now, Lori is a speaker, author, radio host, and LinkedIn evangelist, and she's also one of the top five most connected women on LinkedIn. Mike is a pioneer in the world of social media, LinkedIn networking, and web-based business applications. And Mike founded the world's first social networking, LinkedIn, and social media training company, which is Integrated Alliances, in 2003. Currently, Mike is widely recognized as one of the top authorities on LinkedIn and social media, and he was the co-author with Lori on the book Rock the World with Your Online Presence. Mike's expertise evolved from face-to-face business and social networking to being an early adopter of LinkedIn. Together, Lori and Mike have trained over 10,000 professionals in classes, workshops, webinars, seminars, and conferences worldwide. Mike, Lori, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Now, obviously today, especially in B2B sales, the biggest platform that everybody is using is spending the most time on in that realm, the professional sale level, is LinkedIn. The question that comes, though, is that, and I have this question myself, you know, you look at all these groups and everything else like that, and you start to see that there's a lot of other, like when you post questions or you look at answers to questions or discussions, it seems like everybody is either a salesperson or a consultant selling in some shape or form. So I guess the first question is LinkedIn, are there any real, you know, buyers, decision makers out there on LinkedIn? Is it really even worth the time?
So I think it is worth the time. You do see a lot of people out there selling, but honestly, Eric, everybody's either in sales or sales support. So no matter what you do for a company, if you're not helping bring business in the door or supporting the people that are, your business isn't going to make it. So even though Mike and I, for example, are out selling LinkedIn training or speaking services or what we do, we're also people that are looking for services. So there's a lot of two ways going back and forth about it. Do you have any thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, the executive areas, the executive teams and stuff, they're not so chatty. They're not out doing a lot of things that are creating a lot of attention. They kind of try to stay below the radar screen a bit, behind the firewall. Fortunately, though, LinkedIn lets you kind of circumvent the firewall a little bit. It provides access to people that you wouldn't know about in the first place, as well as a method for that access. Not only can you find them, but you've got a two cans and a string, so to say, to get you there.
So then what you're saying is those people are online, they're just not really making themselves known as in taking active participation in discussions or Q&As.
Right, you know, a lot of the decision makers, depending on what level of decision maker, because when you talk about decision makers, everybody immediately jumps to, is it the CEO? And sometimes your decision maker is not the CEO. It might be somebody else in the organization that actually gives the approval for your project to go ahead or signs the check for you. So the term decision maker can sometimes be misleading. Each person has to decide who their decision maker is, who their target market is. And so, but the big CEOs, the decision makers, are out there, and they're increasingly understanding that in order not to be embarrassed, they've got to have a stronger network, and they've got to have a good online presence, and their profile has to be built out to a respectable level. And it's becoming much more of a peer-incented environment for them.
You know, Eric, they don't necessarily do all this stuff themselves. They're used to having administrative help, and in the LinkedIn world, for the most part, administrative assistants for executives are doing a lot of the work for their boss, just like they are scrubbing their email and doing a lot of other communications. This has become just another communication channel that the assistant for the executives are managing for them. Or they're subbing it out to firms like ours or some other firms out there that really manage that, not just being on it, but responding to communications, because things happen out there and they need to be responded to quickly, or they're kind of lost. That little rubber duck has gone down the river and you can no longer, talk about it. It's the water's under the bridge.
Okay, so that's an interesting note there, that you said that they're outsourcing, even if they're handing it off to their assistant or something. In that case, because obviously, a lot of the methodologies that are used on LinkedIn are sort of the attraction piece. How do you if an administrative assistant or an executive assistant is the one creating the profile, maintaining the profile, reading the emails, etc., how do you structure your communications, your message, because obviously you're now no longer directing that message to the decision maker. You are directing it to somebody who is acting on the in the auspice or in the pretending to be the decision maker.
Well, that's indeed true. Now, just like anything, a really good lead or a really good something gets passed through the gatekeeper to the executive.
Well, So on LinkedIn, you can imagine Mike and I are incredibly busy, and Mike is a target for a lot of people. A lot of people see what he's doing and they say, we want to be involved. And so Mike is on LinkedIn every day, and a lot of our CEOs, a lot of the people at the executive level that we work with are on LinkedIn every day. Their admins are out there assisting them, helping find the leads, helping do some of the searches, managing some of the communications, going out into the groups and finding discussions that their boss might want to be involved in. So it's an assistive environment more than a let me do this for you completely. So these people are still out there even though they're getting help. So it's really a different environment, because if you think about it, Eric, social networking online, you cannot replace I can't do everything on LinkedIn for Mike because all of a sudden Mike's voice is gone. And people can read through that transparency. It's unbelievably sensitive to where people can look at a post and tell whether or not Mike wrote that post once they get to know him. And in the online environment, people get to know you.
No, there are lots of shades of gray, and there's no black and white digital answer here. It's a you know, very, very colorful environment. A trained up executive is different than the folks who are not. You know, we have the executives who get on LinkedIn and say, get me to 500. I don't want to look like I'm insignificant. Get me to 500 plus. Get my stuff out here. Here's my resume from 20 years ago, and here's my bio. Go to the website, pull this stuff together, and get it up there. Well, frankly, at least that gets them started. Because the first step is to build it, and then you get to use it. And the biggest stumbling point is the build it part. I don't know what to say. I don't want to look bad. Oh, it's too complicated, so I'm just going to shut down. I'm not going to do that. And then Lori and I come into play, and they start to kind of cuddle up to it. Oh, I can this and that. And, oh, you mean some of the stuff can be done administratively for me, and I can still do my own pieces? Hey, it's a lot easier to get through the gateway to a decision maker using LinkedIn than it is through a telephone.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just find the entire dynamic, and I think it's very interesting. You part of what you do, one of the things that you do is obviously help executives to establish their LinkedIn profile, presence, et cetera, help them to figure out how they're going to delegate what responsibilities to whom and how. And obviously, you know, it helps because since you work that side of the fence, you're able to help the other side of the fence get through the fence. What have been the strategies then that have been most effective for the salesperson on the other side of the fence who is trying to get through to make an impression on a particular decision maker?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question because we have been talking so far about the decision maker and how they get online and what role they play. And once the salespeople understand that, if you're trying to get to those decision makers, you know, looking at their profile and reaching out to them in a personal way, when you meet somebody at a networking event, you shake their hands, you say, hi, this is who I am, this is what I do, and the conversation quickly moves away from business to the personal. So you look at the things that they do, look at the interests that they state, in their profile that they have. If there's a similar interest, you know, looking at the LinkedIn groups that they're a member of and participating in those LinkedIn groups, or it might give you an idea of what their interests are. If their company is a marketing company and they're a member of marketing groups, okay, great. But if they're also a member of the local Mustang Enthusiast Club or the Led Zeppelin group on LinkedIn, well, now you've got a little bit of an insight into their personality and what kinds of things they like to talk about aside from business. And when you talk about things outside of business, Mike has figured out really quickly and brilliantly that's where the relationship starts to form. And people really want to do business with people they know and trust. And you don't know and trust anybody better than your friends and the people that you have a solid relationship with.
Do you know how many executives play musical instruments? They've played in bands. It's an amazing percent of chief executives and high-level executives that play musical instruments. One of our clients is a voiceover IP company here, and their company band is called Broadband.
That's the name of the band.
And when they hire employees there, they look for folks that have a kind of tie-in so they can play in the company band. And look how that...
Participate in the company culture. Yep. You know, even Oracle, you know, Mike went to Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, and he's in Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp with all these rock stars and executives at companies.
The founder of Oracle, Larry Ellison's co-founder at Oracle, is there. He's an investor in Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp.
You know, and so looking at people as people, we're not just looking to a decision maker to sign a check, you know, to hire us. We're looking for people that we can build a relationship with that will want to do business with us. And that might be a paradigm shift for a lot of sales folks. But once they understand that and get that under their skin, then they're able to use the online environment much more effectively to drive business.
So what you're saying, and I totally agree with you, I'm purely about more getting more personal. You can't have professional until you have personal. What do you find? So when you or when you go out there and you start talking to sales teams, working with them, obviously their mindset is get a sale, get a sale, get a sale. How do you help them to overcome that mindset and go into the mindset of okay, I'm gonna get to know people. Because, their desire is to get on LinkedIn because, again, they've got a lot of pressure coming down from above to make sales. So their desire is to get on LinkedIn, make some sort of contact as quickly as possible, and then get out the door and start pitching their wares. So how do you address that, that mindset that they have, and how do you switch it over to a mindset that says, I'm going to utilize LinkedIn to build relationships, and how do you help them to build those relationships on LinkedIn?
Well, basically, clients are looking for more than a good product at a good price. That's the ante. You expect a good product at a good price. Beyond that, what are you going to do, Mr. Prospective Vendor, to help put money in my pocket? Not just provide a computer that does this or that or whatever. How are you going to help me bring revenue in the door? And that comes from the personal relationship that you have with your vendor partners. Not a vendor-client relationship, but a partnership relationship. So we're at a client site today where we're talking about programs for them, and guess what? We need what they have. It's just, wow, how do you plug into our business cycle and how do we plug into your business cycle? And that's what the tool of LinkedIn lets us do, because we get this business intelligence from their profile. And heck, it might have been put in by an assistant. It might not. You never know nowadays, because the assistants get it started and the execs want to take over and they want to make those words them. So the idea nowadays is to be a partner with your clients, not to be a vendor, and LinkedIn helps you do that. We recommend our clients. We have LinkedIn recommendations on our client sites. These folks are so good. We've been inside of their products. We've seen the impact it's had on their clients. There's a LinkedIn recommendation that I'm able to do to them from a network that's got 30,000 direct connections in it. That provides a nice pipeline into my client that the other vendor can't match.
So I think, understanding how something works doesn't mean that it can't happen fast. So, the one example I'll give you is say that you've got named accounts and you've got a account and you're given this account and the company isn't represented at this account yet, but it's your responsibility to go after that account and get it. And this is what you've been handed. So now you go on LinkedIn and you start researching that company and looking at who are the people that are there, where might I be able to open doors, where can I find somebody inside to help me maybe find the business, find out what their pain points are. You can now use LinkedIn and Twitter and the other social tools to see what conversations are going on at those companies, find out where their pain points are before you ever talk to the first person so that you can now come in and offer solutions.
Yeah, Lori's hit on a big key selling point. You're getting some really great gems here. These are the things that folks who see us perform get. Okay. The first is to find a coach at the company to fill you in with what's going on. So if I'm targeting Boeing, let's go way to the top up at Boeing. There's got to be somebody out at Boeing that would really like me, that would be cool to hang out with, that I could be friends with, and LinkedIn can help because my personal interests and theirs might align. And through the power of keyword searching, I can find those kind of people. And I'll go share a beer with a software engineer at Boeing, for example, or somebody who's on the shares an interest with me to find out what's going on there, to get the inside scoop. And then you can also pick up what the language are. Here, they're called account managers. Over here, they're account executives. From over there, they're called sales reps. So getting the inside lingo is a huge thing. When you actually do get these folks on the phone, your coach will tell you what the inside lingo is. Because when you're pitching a decision maker using their inside lingo about, yeah, we got the A7s coming up next, and the 2211s, and remember last year was a blah. If I learn that and threw that language into them, it's like when Lori and I speak to technology teams and we talk about the days of modems and layers of the OSI model and the backhauls and the circuits and all, they just get buttery because we're talking the language of them. And you learn that through finding a coach who gives you the inside scoop. LinkedIn really helps.
So by coach, you mean somebody who's already in the company?
Yeah, an employee. Don't call it a snitch. This is not a snitch.
Right.
But it's somebody who
somebody who helps educate you about what's going on, you know, what the glossary is there, what the language is there, what the culture is like there, who might, you know, just because somebody has a title that is a title that you think might be a decision maker, it might turn out that the company structure is a little bit different. They say, oh, no, you don't need to go to this guy. You need to go to this gal over here instead. This is going to be a better way for you to help us solve the problems that we're having. Let me let you talk to these people first. So they really can show you the ins and outs of what's going on. And it's really, some people say, well, isn't that deceitful to try and find a friend at the company just to do business? But you're trying to help the company solve problems. And really, that's when you get down to business, that's what it's all about, is people helping other people solve problems, business helping other businesses get business done.
So by doing this approach, you get to find out about the product roadmap, because you want to get your relationship with them predicated on future products. Next year's launch, you want to get into next year's launch product because now you're integral starting totally into the future. You want to get your product, your services embedded in the future development there. You find that out from the coach who knows, you know, we're acquiring the CAN division from Ball Aerospace over here, and, you know, it's going to get combined over there. So plastics are really the big deal here, for example. Well, if I'm in there talking about aluminum cans and plastics are the big deal for next year, I'm beating a dead horse. I'm on the product line that's sunsetting. I want to be on the sunrising products, and that's where this inside stuff comes into play.
So, as an example, if I'm going to reach out and try and touch base with one of these coaches, I mean, you know, you were talking about bowling. I mean, so as an example, would I email this person and say, hey, I see you like bowling. Let's get together and have a beer?
Yeah, it could be that straightforward, but it doesn't have to be. You know, we've had people reach out to us. As a matter of fact, the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp example is an honest one. The gentleman there is doing business development for Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp to find corporate partners that want to bring Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp in as a team training exercise or for company entertainment. And so he was searching on LinkedIn for people who might be interested, and he figured if they've got rock and roll in their profile, that might be a great place for me to start. Well, of course, Mike and I show up at the top of the list, being the LinkedIn rock stars, right? And so he's looking. He's got both of our profiles up there. Mike's got music notes in his headline. I've got stars. So he calls Mike. And he literally, I was there when the call came in, and he calls, and Mike's like stood up out of his chair, and then he sat back down again and said, how do you spell your name? Let me look you up on LinkedIn and see who I'm talking to. And
his name is Orphanopoulos. How do you spell Smith again?
But it, you know, so what happens is when you really connect with people honestly over mutual interest, the relationship buds, and it just, you can't help but find friends that also result in doing business.
Eric, the key is not to have a message that's this way or that way, but a woven message.
Right.
So, for example, in a LinkedIn profile, a woven message means sentence number one is a business message. Sentence number two has got a personal side to it. So, you know, every other odd one is kind of business personal in a nice little sine wave that weaves what it's like, what you're like to be a business partner, not a vendor, not a customer, but a partner. And if this kind of, if my style and my skills and my background blend well with your needs, and I've laid them out here, we're going to go very far along. We start that conversation on second base. You don't have to get to first base, get to second. When you got those things in common, you start further down. Our program's called 1-2-3 Rock. That's our big deal for 2012. 1-2-3 Rock, and we totally go down this path. And it's just a really simple thing that you go, it's so obvious, I totally get that. And then guess what? We provide the training to make it happen. But the gist of 1-2-3 Rock, I don't know, did you think your audience would be interested?
Okay. I see where you're going with that. Now, you were, and not to jump backwards in your conversation, but something you said jumped out at me, that when you make this contact with those folks, they say, stop a second, I'm going to go look you up on LinkedIn. And they start checking out your profile as you were breaking it down. What is the ways that you work with or that you advise your clients? Like, what should they be looking for in their profile, and what are some of the mistakes that you see that you what are like the common mistakes, I guess, that you see that people think are the way to do a profile?
Well, there's so many to choose from. Well, some of the biggest ones, Eric, are first of all, not filling out your profile because you think nobody cares. They do care. They do want to get to know who you are. People do want to kind of check you out and see if you're worth your salt. Because anybody can say they're an expert. All it takes is typing the word on your profile. But when you back it up and you put in your experience, you know, for example, way back in my experience, back from the mid-90s, I've written and rewritten my profile to reflect what I'm doing now. So the experience I had back then, rather than just have it be a resume portion of, you know, what I did in 1996 when I started this company and I did this and I did that, it's much more focused on here's what I did and how that relates to how it led me to get to where I am today or how it relates to what I'm doing today. This is why this experience is important to who I am and how I can help you now. And so looking at your profile as a living, dynamic document that allows you to really represent your professional credibility is key. But at the same time, you're not just all about business. So what is it that you enjoy? What are you passionate about? Where can people connect with you? How can they connect with you? When I send you a LinkedIn invitation to say, hey, let's connect, or I'd like to talk to you about this. By the way, I see you're interested in and Stevie Nicks, she's one of my favorite singers too. We should talk about that, you know, while we're getting together. You know, it just, what opportunities can you give people? How can you open the door for people to get to know you on a personal level, on your own profile?
Fortunately, people are getting more educated all the time, and the profiles are getting more rich. One of the things driving this, Eric, is even at executive levels at companies, they're concerned about their jobs, Eric. And if they're going to get caught without a chair when the music stops, they want to make sure that they've done enough on LinkedIn while they were there to have, you know, gotten their peer network at least, you know, the folks at companies at their level out there. So in case they need it, they're not the guy who says, I don't have a job now, I better go out and get on LinkedIn and do something with it. Not a good idea to be desperate when you're getting going. That's why these job seekers seem so desperate sometimes is, you know, well, this thing was unexpected. Well, even at the C level, these things can be expected nowadays. It's like insurance. LinkedIn is your insurance policy in case something happens. You know, you might have a chair waiting for you that wouldn't have been there otherwise.
And that brings up a good point, too, because the biggest problem for job seekers, believe it or not, is not putting their contact information on their resume. And on LinkedIn, the biggest problem that I see is people that don't put their phone number, their email, how to contact them, some kind of a call to action. Right at the bottom of your summary, if somebody's looking at your headline on LinkedIn and they read 2,000 characters of your summary and your elevator pitch, and you don't end that summary with a call to action, or you don't have a call to action on your profile, you're missing a lot of business. And even for decision makers who don't want everybody knocking down their door about how they could do business with their company, being able to say, here's how you contact my team. Here's how you could do business with my company. Here's how you can reach out to me and get a personal response. I'm interested in networking with my peers. If you match that, if you fit that category, here's how you can get in touch with me through LinkedIn, at this phone number, at this email address, check out our website, whatever the call to action is, whatever that new touch point is, giving somebody a new touch point to further the relationship with you, to reach out to do business with you is critical to your success. That's where people respond back. Every time I've heard somebody that got business done on LinkedIn, I've started to ask them, do you have your phone number or some kind of contact information or some kind of call to action? And to a person, everyone says yes.
So, and I would just add to that, in a communication with somebody, especially for the first time, to include something that you have gleaned from their LinkedIn profile to you know, basically prove to them that you did your background.
I looked
at you. I didn't ask a question I could answer myself by just going to www.linkedin.com/in/your profile, wherever that is. I shouldn't, as a in a sales environment, be asking questions that I can answer myself unless it's part of a strategic nurturing system where I know the answer, I'm walking you down a path. But you don't ask dumb questions that catch you off guard if you could have done that research on LinkedIn. We stress, go to the profile and check them out before you get there. You can do it on a handheld device. It works great on an iPhone. It's not hard. You just got to know how to spell their name. And Gina Orphanopoulos was not easy.
Still not easy.
No, I hear you. So basically the main lesson there is that most people are just not putting some form of call to action.
Yeah, that's huge. And all of your...
And who that call of action is for.
Right.
These people should do this. Other folks out there, you know, you can't help everybody. We're in a niche society now where you've got to pick out of all the world out there, where's my space? And you can cut down on a lot of false positives, people trying to reach you if they're looking for plastic bottles and all you do is aluminum bottles. You know, those calls are folks are the ones that you don't want, and people appreciate a targeted message instead of, I do everything for everybody, so call me about everything. That doesn't work nowadays. You can't segment. There's 135 million people on LinkedIn right now. There's enough for everybody. Anything you do, you'll find a lot of results as long as you know how to do it. And Lori and I specialize in teaching people how to do it, how to extract those folks out. That's our business.
All right, so niching on LinkedIn, definitely, and I totally agree with you. So if you were going to say, look, you know, so here's the, you know, two or three things that everybody who's looking to increase the effectiveness of their communications on LinkedIn in terms of creating sales, ultimately, what would those two or three things be?
I'm going to go back to the 1-2-3 ROT program and spell it out for you real quickly.
Sure.
Number one is to fit in. You've got to show up in the search results in order for people to find you and see that you're out there. And you've also got to fit in such a way that people respect you. So having the keywords that are appropriate for your business in your profile so you can be found and using those keywords to find potential clients. The next one is to stand out. So don't just have a profile out there that looks like everybody else's, but put what's individual to you, what makes you unique.
And being on a page with nine other people in search results is only part of it. You want to be the one that gets clicked on from that page. That's
exactly.
Where Lori's talking about standing out, because when you're in search results, great, you're found, you're on the list.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're clicking through.
So build out your headline and be attractive so people will click through and want to do business with you. And then three, get personal. Make sure that when you are interacting with somebody, if they're on LinkedIn, you do your homework, you look them up, you find out what they're interested in, find out what they're about so that you don't have to have that conversation, who are you, what do you do, what's your background. You get through all the chitter-chatter and that stuff and go right into the meat of a relationship. So the 1-2-3 ROT, get down and get to doing business.
Eric, the simple, obvious thing about the 1-2-3 ROT part is if you understand LinkedIn, this will be kind of jumping for our advanced users here a little bit. Within the advanced LinkedIn search area out there on LinkedIn, we put our first criteria to find the folks we want to reach, our decision makers, our good partners, and our second search has some personal things on it. It's a two-filter system, and then we approach those folks with the right message that kind of goes back and forth between the two.
Okay. Well, definitely, probably not enough people utilizing the search function to the effectiveness that you just laid out. So good stuff, and I appreciate that. Obviously, this is your, you know, this is your bread and butter. This is what you do every day. You know the ins and outs of LinkedIn, and for anybody who's looking to improve their capabilities and effectiveness on LinkedIn, I think should contact you. So to that end, how can our listeners contact you, learn more about you, your book, et cetera?
There's a real easy place to go. Rockstarnetworking.com will help them connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, wherever they want to spend their time. It'll also get them to our website and our phones and free resources out there that they can use to start getting going on it.
So rockstarnetworking.com.
Yes.
Yeah, what Lori is describing is pretty interesting. It's a links page that has links to all the properties rather than taking you to one place or another.
There you go. Simplicity in action. I couldn't have said it better myself. All right, guys. So we appreciate having you on. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
It's been awesome, Eric. Thanks for having us on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time to listen today. Now, when you're on LinkedIn, again, your profile and how you connect with people and what, you know, when they first see your profile, one of the most important things is the picture that they get of you, what they, you know, that first impression that they get from you, which often is your profile on LinkedIn. And one of the key ways that we help here at the Guru Selling System, that we help our clients, is by implementing what we call the unique sales persona, which is made up of numerous elements, some of the key ones being a unique contrarian position, a unique sales title, a unique technology position, a unique meeting name, and a unique sales avatar. Anyway, if you'd be interested to learn more about the unique sales persona, how you can apply it, and how it might benefit you and your team and your company, feel free to give us a call. In the United States or Canada, you can give us a call at 973-551-9220. And if you're outside the USA or Canada, feel free to send us an email, as it were, at info@guruselling.com. That's info@guruselling.com. And please include your name, email address, Skype ID, what country you're in, and we'll get back to you ASAP about setting up a time to chat. Anyway, this is Eric Lohr saying thanks again for taking the time to listen today. And as always, I remind you to remember that you have to be a person before you can be a salesperson. Take care. Bye-bye.